Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 56. Poor Ryan. I make Ryan hold his breath before we start each one so that he's not saying anything as we try to get a little quietness at the beginning so that I can, you know, find a place to edit to start it. I wait for him to hold his breath, and then sometimes I like to make him hold it a little longer. So that's why we were laughing when it started. You didn't miss out on a joke or anything. But, I already said it, Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 56.
We're old,
and we're just going to talk, about some recent books that came out. Adam looks at me funny. I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics, and here tonight are...
I'm Megan Vaughn.
Joe F.
Donnie.
Sarge.
Ooh.
You've done that for a while.
We were talking about
We're getting earlier. Nicknames now. Okay.
Adam Russell?
Matt Lytle.
That's not, those aren't nicknames.
And Colin from Cleveland?
Nick bailed on some Dr. work type thing. Yeah. Apparently he's too important for us now.
Evil Nick with mustache. That's goatee.
Mary
like
Universe.
Spock.
I see where you're getting at, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. This is going to go bad. I can tell already.
Edit this out.
Okay. I do no editing. That would take too much work.
Since Adam's being such a jokester, we could talk about the comedian number.
Oh, let's start with that.
What was Joe's last week that he...
It was an odd segue. It was more like, speaking of fish, you know, let's talk about Batman. Yeah, it was an awkward one. But go for it. You started it.
All right. So
I haven't looked at all the sales numbers, but the one I keep watching kind of mostly is Minutemen because that's been out the longest. Sales-wise, the numbers for me at least are right where I thought they'd be. I'm really happy with how it's selling. DC gave us a consignment deal where we could order, if we exceeded our order of Green Lantern 6, we could get up to 25% of our order as consignment, basically meaning they would send us that amount, and then we could either send it back at a certain point or pay for them.
Right.
So I took advantage of that and maxed out my consignment, just, you know, not knowing.
Right.
But I ordered pretty strong. Like 75% of AVX, and I'm probably just about to the consignment copies, at least on Minutemen. So, I'm thrilled. I haven't been tracking as closely the other two that have come out. Just time wise, 1 week normally doesn't give you a good measure, but get it off the table. But so far, I'm calling it a pretty good success. We'll see how the number twos do. But I haven't read any of them yet that I haven't wanted to read the number two of yet.
Right.
So,
okay.
But go, comedian.
All right.
Sorry.
So, you know, they're doing one number one every week. So, first we had Minutemen. Last week was... Last week was...
Comedian. This week, Night Owl. Next week, Ozymandias.
Right. So, if you haven't read Comedian, we're going to talk about it. And it's kind of interesting. I mean, you get little hints of Comedian's backstory throughout the main story of Watchmen. I mean, you know that he was close with the government, but... this issue kind of takes it to a different kind of close, as in, like, he's like the lost Kennedy brother playing football with Jack and Bobby.
Well, he wasn't playing. He was inside with Jack.
Well, no, he was playing outside at the beginning.
Okay. I thought he was in the room with the wife the whole time.
No, he was playing outside.
Right.
And you wonder, was that, like, stardom? Was he seeking fame?
Right.
Or, you know, somebody who likes to seek out famous people?
Right.
Or, you know, I doubt it was politics.
No, and it's, you know, even in the original Watchmen, it's so hard... to get his character, to get his motivation, not only just because he's dead for most of the book,
right.
but...
He's definitely angry through most of it.
He's such a mystery with what you get. His motivations seem to change throughout the book, and they seem to change here, too. You know, they show him being good friends with JFK and Bob Kennedy, but then, you know, he gets called inside
Ted
to
was
talk
there
with...
Too.
Oh, Ted was there. He gets called inside to talk to Jackie, and... she's, like, just dissecting his relationship with JFK, saying, well, I know you love my husband. And he says, I don't love him. I respect him. And, you know, so you get that overtone where she's like, okay, that's right. Okay, yeah, you love him. That's okay.
Yes.
And he denies it all the way through.
But not that way.
But not
he doesn't
that
love
way.
Her,
yeah.
Love him that way.
Right, yeah. But
that is a funny way
to
say
that. Yeah, it is an interesting way that Azzarello chose to approach that relationship. But the way he's also very loyal to Jackie... when she orders him, oh, hey, why don't
well,
you
because
go?
The threat of Marilyn exposing
right.
and damaging John.
John's
so.
Presidency. Right. Yeah, so Jackie tells Comedian, why don't you go kill Marilyn Monroe for us? Or for me, rather.
Right.
She's quite bitter about it, of course. We never get JFK's opinion. So there's that. And then the second half of the book is largely the government sending the Comedian on a mission that doesn't turn out the way that he thinks it was going to.
Well, not even that. They were getting him out of the way because he was supposed to go with JFK to Dallas.
Exactly.
And they got him out of the way.
And now it's implied that they got him out of the way specifically so that JFK could be killed.
Yes.
So you have this nice moment at the end where he busts in on Moloch and he's going to say, where's the drugs? And Moloch is crying.
Where are the drugs?
Swear to me.
And, you know, Moloch's watching on TV the newscast that says JFK's been shot, JFK's dead. And Comedian just stops doing what he's doing, and you kind of have this weird reverse of the scene where Comedian goes to see Moloch in the original Watchmen, where now he busts in with a purpose to arrest him or take him down, and now he finds out that JFK is dead, and he just says, do you have anything to drink? And they just sit down and have a drink together, because they can't believe that JFK is dead.
Right.
So it was an interesting issue. The art was good. I like J.G. Jones' art.
Yes.
I mean, it's typical of J.G. Jones. It's the line works really good, and I thought the coloring was decent.
I like J.G. Jones because he has facial expressions and poses that have a different feel, kind of like it's a very avant-garde feel. Like he chooses poses that other artists wouldn't choose.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
He doesn't always go for the big action shot, but he's able to apply a certain weight and a certain action, a certain movement to a panel.
Yeah, no, I thought because there's that scene where. The FBI agents are saying, Comedian, we'll go in and take care of Moloch and all of his henchmen, and then after that, when we secure the scene, then you can go in and bring Moloch out for the cameras and everything. And Comedian just says, no, drives the car through the garage, jumps out, guns blazing. That was a really cool scene. I like the way that he drew that. I had a lot of energy to it.
J.G. Jones' interiors are tough to come by these
days,
too.
They're a rare thing,
yeah.
Because he started doing Final Crisis.
Yeah, I was going to say first half of Final Crisis.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Although Doug Mankey finished it, which he did a great job.
J.G. Jones
style. Yeah, I like that. But I don't know if I really care. Azzarello's writing is hard for me to take. Not that I don't like it. It's good. It's just not always my style. You know, he goes for the really hard-boiled kind of stuff. And that's what this read like. And even his Wonder Woman reads like that sometimes. And I can never quite put my finger on it of why it's not perfect for me. Not that it has to be perfect, but it's just not my favorite, I guess. So this wasn't my favorite of the Watchmen books, but it was still good. I'd still check it out. And if you buy Comedian number one, you can get Watchmen hardcover trade or absolute half off.
That's right.
Double
while supplies last.
Yeah,
now, is this the first
double points
reason.
Through the end of the month?
What a great reason to shop at your store, Colin. I think everybody should buy.
The absolute is on Baxter paper, Jeremy.
What's that?
Yeah.
A Baxter paper is a really, really sweet type of
paper. Jeremy likes.
Now, wait, did you ever watch Arthur?
Arthur?
His best friend is Baxter Bunny.
Oh, yeah, Arthur. Okay, yeah.
It's rabbit paper.
Right.
Made out of pressed rabbits.
Hey, if you're able to do that, I'm able to go into one.
Sure. Also, listeners, if you want to talk to J.G. Jones in person, to J.G. Jones in person about his work on Before Watchmen, the Comedian, he'll be appearing at the Baltimore Comic Con coming up.
Are they paying you for that?
I thought you were going to say he's coming here. I'm like, what?
not yet. But if we play our cards right.
What does that matter if it's not here?
Okay, I'm just going to finish.
Go ahead.
People are going, wait a minute, because this is quadraphonic, so it's just kind of funny as you just turn the microphone around. Everybody's going to be like,
why they were such good friends. He was such good friends with the Kennedys.
They didn't
the
explain
movie,
that, yeah.
They had him
well,
shoot him.
Remember, the movie is taking
place. Well, I know
place.
The movie didn't actually have
now, I think
anything
it
to
was,
do with the actual
somebody
original.
Said there was just a throwaway line in the book in one of the text pieces that he may have had something to do with the assassination of Kennedy.
Yeah.
So I think the movie took that. And that was one thing when I read it that I went, people might have a problem because this doesn't jive with the movie.
Maybe
but the movie's not canon
either.
In
this book, maybe they're going to tie him into this assassination somehow.
Well, clearly he wasn't there, though.
Well, they can
but it's the government. They can do whatever they want. They can be like, hey, he was here. This is the proof.
I remember reading that. Someone said that in the book. They do say, you know, that he was in Dallas that day. So how does this gel with that? I'm not sure. It could all be deception.
Is this the first book they didn't do the old panel format?
You know, I didn't really pay attention to
I don't
it,
know.
They didn't have it kind of shaped in the same way. What is it, like six
that,
panels?
No, I thought that they were holding the nine-panel grid throughout.
Nine-panel,
I don't think it
I don't
was
think
in
it
my Comedian.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I will go look.
Ryan is going to go check for us.
Now see,
nice.
I had an opposite
He'll be back.
Opinion of Ryan. I thought this was the best of the pre-Watchmen books.
The Comedian?
Like yes.
Okay, and what
do
you like about it?
So if I was judging pre-Watchmen books as completely new properties, this is the only issue I'd buy number two of.
Oh, yeah?
I wouldn't buy... I thought Minutemen was boring. I thought Silk Spectre was the same story I've read 1,000 times already.
Mm-hmm.
This actually felt new. And it's the kind of book I like. I like spy stories. I like action books. I love Brian Azzarello. So, I mean, this was just completely up my alley. I mean, this was...
You know, I like the secret origin of something.
Yeah,
so whenever he works within the panels of history and adds an extra dimension,
that's
cool. I
liked how it was tied into real history. Like there was actually there were events going on where you could tie it to a real time.
Uh-huh.
So you know when Kennedy's assassination was. So you know when about the book was taking place.
Uh-huh.
Whereas the other two could have been anywhere. And honestly, I fell asleep reading Minutemen the first half of the book.
Mm.
I thought it was that boring. The second half was great.
I liked it.
The second half was great. The first half where they're just like two-page origins of each of the Minutemen.
Oh, okay.
I was like...
Doesn't that feel like a kick to the crotch when you like something so much and then your best buddy sitting right next to you is like, what a piece of garbage this is!
It wasn't garbage. It was just the first half was boring. It was just...
I fell asleep during this! Yeah.
What angry old man. The kids get off my lawn.
Yeah.
He stands by his opinions. You got to respect
him. He does, yeah. It did not use the 9-panel layout. No,
I just looked at Night Owl, and it uses far more grids than a modern book does, but like the first page is 6 grids, and there was another one that had 4, so not as much, not as... not like the Silk Spectre that was very structured.
Maybe new artists can't handle that. Maybe they have to think outside the box.
I think everybody working.
No, because that one's Kubert.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
I mean, I think it's more of a style thing. I mean, I don't.
I was going to say Amanda Conner's probably the newest artist out of the.
I feel like
a lot of them.
Azzarello verges on widescreen storytelling occasionally, so I think it would be difficult for him to stick with
grid.
The 9-panel grid. I mean, there are grids. But they're just irregularly, like you said with Night Owl, one page will be like 9, the next page is 6, and some of the panels, even in Silk Spectre and Minutemen, even though it's still following the 9-panel grid, occasionally, this happened in the Watchmen book too, was that like 3 of the panels on the bottom will be joined together. So the grid is still there, but they would play with it a little bit.
That happened in Silk Spectre.
Yeah.
There were a couple
2-panel
and 3-panel.
So I don't think they're going to stick with it exclusively.
No.
It's not going to be like the original Watchmen where it's just this very plotting, but it's meant to be that way.
I haven't read Night Owl yet, but so far I haven't had an issue with one of them. Like, each one of them has their own different feel to it. Just interesting stories about these characters that we didn't really know too much about, because we didn't have to know it in the Watchmen's book. All in all, no, I haven't had really an issue with it.
Night Owl is neat in that there's a scene in it that takes place in Watchmen. In the main Watchmen, you know, the original Watchmen. So it was interesting seeing that from a different perspective, but it was interesting. It was good. It wasn't quite what I expected, just the way I thought when I saw the two Kuberts on it, that, like, Joe would do the older Night Owl and his son would do the modern, but it's not. It's, I think Andy is penciling it and Joe Kubert's inking it.
Okay.
So, but it was very good. It's basically the meeting of the two.
Nice.
Night Owls and how the one starts. And it was good.
Oh, well, now I gotta get that.
Yes, and I will say there is an appearance by Rorschach. So. And Night Owl actually says
Who's
Herm.
This?
So. That one's Straczynski.
See, that's what made me hesitate in getting it.
What?
Straczynski.
No, it was good.
Feeling sour
I
against Straczynski?
Well, no, he'll write 2 issues and then
somebody
else will have to
they're
write
all
the last
done.
Two.
They're
he
all done.
He'll be working on Earth 1 books.
No. Uh-huh.
Every issue is already completed.
So did anybody read the Ed Brubaker article where he talked about Watchmen and before Watchmen?
What'd he say?
I saw something.
Yeah,
so he actually is the first person who really had like legitimate complaint against before Watchmen and how it's kind of a slap in the face to creator own products.
I saw him slapping, talking about what Straczynski said.
No. Yeah, because he was saying that in the time that this was written, it was one of the first creator owned products and very big creator owned publicity and how the contract was supposed to be endorsing creator owned stuff. And DC really never let it become a creator-owned product, in that this is kind of a slap in the face to creator-owned products everywhere. The article is great because he bashes Marvel a little bit.
Mm.
He talks about why he's leaving Marvel. I mean, he's going down the one Marvel book, if you didn't know that.
Who said this?
Ed Brubaker.
He's
going down the Winter Soldier only.
Yeah, he's passing the torch off on Captain America to Cullen Bunn, isn't he?
Yeah, he actually kind of slapped Tom Brevoort around a little bit for saying... He said he actually wanted to leave Captain America about a year, year and a half ago. And
I did read that. Yeah, that's why he's been co-writing it. And,
yeah.
I read that article, and I agree with him that, you know, JMS and I think a lot of other people had taken the idea, well, that's just the deal that Alan Moore signed with DC, just like, you know, the Siegel and, you know, they signed that deal way back when with National Comics. That's just the deal they got. And Brubaker's criticism was that they're using deceptive business practices to defend deceptive business practices rather than make them public and attack them.
And he called out Levitz, I think, specifically.
Right. Well, I guess Levitz's deal was DiDio had wanted to do before Watchmen when Levitz was president. My issue is, though, I mean, that's the contract. I mean, from everything that I've read, the contract that Alan Moore and Dave Gibbons signed said that Watchmen, the rights to Watchmen would revert to them when the book went out of print. And the book has never gone out of print. Now, you could say that DC has made it so the book would never go out of print. But, I mean, then you would have to assume if no one's buying it, there's a warehouse somewhere in New Mexico with, like, thousands of copies of Watchmen in it. So, I agree with Alan Moore and that, you know, he says this is the story that I wrote and I don't want them to make anymore. But if it's not technically his, he doesn't really have as much of a say in it. You know, I mean, he can say as much as he wants, and people can throw around creators' rights as much as they want, but the rights don't technically belong to them. And it's not like DC said, after this many years, we promise we'll give it back, and we'll never give it back. You know, they just said when it goes out of print, and it just, for whatever reason, hasn't gone out of print, whether it's their
ideas. Or, I mean, it's...
Yeah, I mean, so I understand that it's a creators' rights thing, and I do believe in creators' rights, and, you know, if you create a character, you should have some stake in it, but Alan Moore has gone out of his way to say that he doesn't want to be identified with this stuff anymore, and they're not. You know, it's not. It doesn't say Alan Moore is Watchmen.
Well, I
it doesn't
think
say
doesn't want to be associated with it because the way DC's treated him. Openly.
Right.
But then, in the Bleeding Cool magazine,
I did that read
came
that
out. There was
night,
an
yeah.
article with Len Wein saying that he would have been thrilled. He knows what Alan Moore's been paid every year since then,
Watchmen books,
and
yeah.
he would have been thrilled to have taken that
for
doing nothing.
Yeah.
So it's not an insignificant sum that he's been paid.
No,
I
just thought Brubaker had an interesting viewpoint.
Yeah, he does. No, yeah, I wasn't discounting
that. As opposed
to
everybody else just come out going, how do you dare mess with Alan Moore's property? Like,
yeah.
He actually had a good...
Because Alan Moore dares mess with everybody else's property.
Well, and this was just the Charlton characters, right? I mean, let's be honest.
That the only reason he couldn't use the Charlton characters is because they had just bought them.
Right.
And Dick Giordano, who was then...
You messed those up.
Well, it just said, I just paid a lot of money for these characters, you can't kill them.
Yeah.
So that's why he created his own. So, right. But, I mean, you look at... I think everything he's done except for V for Vendetta... Well, maybe some of the...
Lost Girls?
That's based on Wendy and Alice, and, you know...
Now, I guess the America's Best Comic stuff, like Promethea and that stuff, that might have been...
Promethea's Wonder Woman.
And,
I mean,
did he do Top 10, or was it...
Yeah, he did
else?
Top
yeah.
10, and he did...
Tom Strong.
But that's an amalgam of a lot of other characters. But you look, Neonomicon is a Cthulhu story.
Right.
You know, so he's pretty much... I mean, you know, look at League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yeah,
you know?
Supreme is just a Superman story.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's made his career riffing on other people, so to then say you can't riff on characters that...
Well, there's a difference between riffing and using.
Well,
riffing off Wonder Woman and writing, like, taking Wonder Woman and writing it, there's two different things.
Yeah,
I mean, Promethea is just a really strong woman who has powers, so, and she's tall and has dark hair, so basically... You know, and you read the way she's written, it reads you a lot of Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
It's not like.
Well, the tipping point here gets to where does the creator rights begin and where does the company rights begin? And I think the argument that everyone's upset about is not necessarily that all these people are contractually owed money, but whether or not the companies are morally obligated to continue giving these people money. Like, everyone had a big deal about Jack Kirby not really being credited with the Avengers. You know, like, based on characters created by Jack Kirby or anything like that. But, I mean, Marvel has a lawsuit. Is that lawsuit with the Kirby family still going?
I think so.
I think it is. I mean, but I can see how they wouldn't want to publicize that,
right.
though, by putting Kirby's... I mean, they're right now, I believe, they're not contractually obligated to honor that. It's just sort of a, you know, moral thing you get in the comics sometimes. But I think that's the breaking point for people of this person did a lot for you, so you should do a lot for them.
Right.
But no one's contractually obligated to do that. That's just the way the law works.
What did they put on the Captain America movie? Did they put based on characters created by?
He was created by Kirby.
That's
and
what I'm saying. Did they actually
Simon.
Did they put both their names?
I've always noted it was Stan Lee, but I never. I know Avengers said, like, you know, with special thanks to like Mark Miller and Brian Michael Bendis, and
because they created the Avengers.
Well, they created the Ultimates, which that movie was based off of.
I mean, the movies borrowed so heavily from the Ultimates and the new comics.
Those are all Ultimate.
What are you talking about?
Hulk was an Ultimate.
Like the in the movie Cap at the end of Avengers, it said Brian Michael Bendis and Mark Miller and
Oh really? Yeah, because of the Ultimates. No, the Chitauri were all Ultimates. I'd agree with you on that, Colin.
All the movies, all the Marvel movies
much
have
more
been have
Nick
been
Fury
have,
is.
They've had roots in the Ultimates, which in turn drew on the original Marvel stories.
It is.
It is, but I think definitely there is an influence from the Ultimates.
Does it say Nick Fury based on Samuel L. Jackson made by?
Oh, who created Nick Fury? Who introduced Nick Fury?
Oh, I forget his name.
Black Nick Fury? No, but I'm saying the Sam Jackson Fury was created by Mark Miller.
That's right, he did, because it was Halloween.
The original, that's old. Jim Steinke did the Strange Tales. I think it might be earlier than that. Oh, no, I'm thinking of the book. Never mind. I was thinking of something else. That's old Strange Tales.
It was always the Black Nick Fury.
Yeah, it was always Nick Fury.
Created by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby.
There you go.
First appearance was his own book. Sergeant Fury and his Howling Commandos.
That's right. That's what it first was on.
I like how
we had that conversation like 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, just for the record, I'm reading Wikipedia. I'm not that historical.
You're not Nick.
I'm not Nick. I am cheating.
Despite the legal conundrum, though, I would say, even though we spiraled into the legal conversation of before Watchmen, the books are still good.
Yeah,
it's everything the DC said.
And that's part of what I'm thinking. They're better than a lot of books that are out there right now. So if you're just looking for a good story,
read it. And that's the thing. If you like Watchmen but you don't want any more story, you don't have to buy the books.
Yeah.
You know what? But this is an argument from like the beginning of comic books. I mean, they're still having this argument with Superman. You know, who did this and what did that?
They're a lot better than a lot of the books from the big two.
I think there are a lot of Image
and Top Cow books out there that are better than what's going on here. Well, let me not talk. I was just thinking.
See, since when did you start reading Witchblade?
He's picking up Darkness. There are.
Who created Witchblade?
Ron Mars?
No. Oh, yeah. And he's still writing it. Does that count as a creator on property?
Silvestri?
I think it was Silvestri.
Yeah, it might have been Silvestri.
Michael Turner and Silvestri.
Uh-huh. And yeah, that started way back with Image and Spawn.
I've read one issue of Witchblade.
How was it?
Bad? It was a jumping on point issue, and I had no
was it
idea
a point
what
one?
Was going. No, it was not, and it made no sense.
I've never got into that one either.
That's not a very good jumping on point if it makes no sense.
Can you imagine how hard it is to get somebody into a new comic? Because reading comics in general applies to a niche audience.
That's what point ones are for.
So I mean, if only such a small segment of the population reads Superman or Batman. There's an even smaller segment of the population that reads Witchblade, you know?
Yeah.
So for Mark Silvestri to create a new property that doesn't automatically appeal to people...
I'm
like,
sure it used to sell like much, 10, much better.
Like 10 people reading that? 10 people in the country?
I bet there's more than 10 or they wouldn't be publishing it.
They print 10 every...
Exactly.
But now that is a niche audience.
4 out of 10? I just rolled the money.
Silvestri's...
He's going to come out for a signing. He sells 40% of his product.
And they sold one variant out of those 10.
Yeah.
10 variants.
Yeah.
I'm just at a loss.
I don't know.
Right. Okay.
If I was going to buy them, though, I'd buy them here at Pittsburgh Comics.
Oh, well, thank you, Joe. Okay, now.
I'd buy them online.
What? Let's move on.
Joe, I'm going to get you a sandwich for it. That was good.
Well, I'm walking out.
Right.
Hey, I got a
big bell.
Did anybody download the Batman digital comic that they brought out?
I read the first issue, but not the second two.
Ryan, did you read that?
I did not.
Give us some backstory.
And it seemed interesting. I know Lemire wrote the first one.
Start out, who's the writer, who's the artist?
I forget.
It changes.
I believe Jeff Lemire wrote the first one with art by...
Jeff Lemire drew the first one.
Mm. Oh, with written by Ben Templesmith?
Yeah,
no,
okay.
No. Templesmith is coming up.
Okay. See, I'm always
combined. I hope they like those.
Hang on.
Herb.
So Jeff Lemire, that's a marquee name.
It's kind of a short story, though. But it's kind of a surprise ending, so going into too much... gives it away, but it's kind of this, huh? The first one.
The first one. Yeah, the first one's a great story, I thought.
basically, what is it? It's like an argument between Alfred and Bruce.
And Bruce learns an important lesson.
Yeah.
Are you gonna tell me what the important lesson
is? Yeah,
was,
I guess you can. I mean,
it's been out for a couple weeks. I mean,
it's Damon Lindelof. Oh,
Lindelof, creator of Lost.
Jeff Lemire did art. So basically, Batman comes upon a family getting stuck up, and he jumps in all head
first. Which happens a lot with Batman.
And gets his butt handed to him very quickly.
By a guy with a gun?
No, by several villains.
Eyes with a gun? Oh.
And it then flashes back to Batman and Alfred having a conversation about how Batman has no weaknesses. And Bruce Wayne says, "I'll bet you a dollar I don't have any weaknesses." And derp. Alfred comes up and calls off all the villains as Batman's laying there after getting his butt kicked. And takes a dollar out of the bat belt. And wow. Basically was like, "You lose."
Yeah. And it's just this.
And it's just a single.
Holy crap.
And the whole concept, though, is it's going to be top name creators writing one
right.
mm-hmm. to three issue story arcs.
One to three page.
No, their one issue is like, I think, 20 pages.
What's funny about the.
I thought it was a short story.
20 bucks. And then the next one is three. The current arc is three issues.
Okay.
What's funny about the family that he's trying to save? Is they're actually the people, if I get that right, they're actually the people that actually attack him.
Like, the kid is like a midget.
Kid's like a midget. He's not really a...
Like a fake out by Alfred. I see the lesson that he's getting there.
Yeah.
Someone's going to wind up in the unemployment line.
He was like, Alfred, I'm going to be in the infirmary for...
Yeah. So you'll appreciate the second arc is Jonathan Larson writing and art by J.G. Jones.
Oh,
I did see that. As I scroll through every now and then, I look at Comixology, and I did see that it was J.G. Jones.
But this is a part of a larger thing from DC where they're trying to do a new digital comic every day of the week, except Wednesdays. Wow. So Monday is AmiCom Girls from Justin Palmiotti and Justin Gray.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Palmiotti. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Justin Gray.
Amanda Connor did the first arc of that, which was the first three-issue arc. Wonder Woman. And
Friday is Smallville Season 11.
Are these free downloads?
No, $2.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember what the other series are.
You think they'll come out in the print column?
The Smallman one, Smallville one is already.
It's going to be tough to penetrate the market with that new character you just invented, Smallman.
He's the little kid in the family where
he's the midget.
Batman. He's him.
Batman Arkham City is one of them.
I would imagine if they do reprint them, they're going to do, like, with the Batman Beyond book.
Well, the Smallville one is doing
it
now.
Yeah, they're doing it, too.
Four digital issues in one paper.
That's actually one book that I can't play up enough is that Batman Beyond book. There's so much to read.
Do you buy the physical copy?
I buy it, yeah.
Okay.
Just because there's so much to
read. Where do you buy that?
I'm sorry. I order it off of Amazon. What?
I think Batman Beyond is so awesome. Did you watch the Batman Beyond cartoon when it was on?
And,
did you love it?
Yeah. And
what was your favorite
like,
aspect of it?
Joe, I hate when you do that.
I don't know.
mine was what they did with Tim Drake.
Oh, the movie one.
Yeah.
Well, what's cool about this book is they separated.
It's what they do with
three.
Tim Drake.
Oh,
you can't do that.
Thank you. I'm so glad that you
they
asked that,
the
Colin.
Joker, but that just ruined the whole movie for you.
The slow build. I was going to give you the same slow build the movie does.
The Joker puts some sort of crazy microchip into his neck when he's a kid.
No, he kidnaps him.
He tortures him.
He kidnaps him.
No,
he tortures him.
But he puts in his tooth and
he
becomes a talent?
He tortures him and he programs his own personality into Tim Drake.
Because the Joker has these...
So then Joker's dead.
But that would give Tim Drake a personality.
The Joker's dead and then Tim Drake is the Joker.
That was easy.
But there's some other things going on. Like they kind of allude to other things that happened in the time between Batman the Animated Series and Batman Beyond. Like, for instance, they kind of hint that Bruce and Barbara had a relationship.
Yeah.
Like Barbara left Dick to be with Bruce. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Some other
Robin
stuff like that.
Cradle.
Yeah.
But they really go into a lot of this stuff into these books. But what's cool about these books, they're separated into usually three stories. They're all something different. One right now is a Superman Beyond story, which is Superman in the future who's still fighting crime and doing his thing, but he feels a little aged. The world's changed around him. Like, print is now digital, you know, and he's not a big fan of that because that's
Perez just write that?
Futuristic. he did in Superman. He talked about the daily planet going digital.
Like the whole point of the first issue of Superman.
And that's how it did. So now he's reminiscing. But anyways, the other story is a Justice League story. And then you have your Batman Beyond story. But some things they touch base on in the cartoon that, you know, were in the cartoon. Other things they don't. So it's not necessarily something you have to read or watch the cartoon to know what's going on. But I don't know. There's just a lot for your buck. There really is. I mean, there's a lot to read in the story. I find the stories to be pretty good. So
that's in the Batman Beyond comics?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sweet. Are they in continuity with the show?
No, they...
Yeah, I'd say they are.
A little bit, yeah.
I mean, they borrow stuff. They borrow ideas from the show. I'd read the first couple Justice League Beyond, and they touch on... I know they said one issue coming up, they're going to touch on Warhawk's origin and Warhawk. If you watched the Justice League cartoon, you would know that Warhawk is the child of Jon Stewart and Hawkgirl. Yeah.
Hmm. What?
Sweet.
And they also go into why he
Hawkman
was very angry.
That's actually what this issue deals with.
There was a really big subplot.
He does show up
in the Justice League cartoon. There was a big subplot where Carter Hall was like, Shiera, we're meant to be together. And she was like, you're insane, leave me alone. And then Jon Stewart punched him in the face. And yeah.
But that comes
with
up
a fist
this
or
issue.
A green fist.
Wow.
It might have been a big green boxing glove.
Okay.
Yes. Anywho.
That'd be out of character for Jon Stewart. He's more into making guns.
I don't know. He destroyed a planet a couple of times. So.
And he broke somebody's neck.
Whose neck did he break?
Joe, you need to start reading comic books.
It was fatality. That was a test. You failed.
No. He broke this Green Lantern's neck. Who was trying Green Lantern Corps, who was going to give up secrets of the Corps.
Oh, really?
So he snaps his neck. Now he's on trial and he's been put to death.
No, get out.
Yeah.
Really?
By the Alpha Lantern.
Literally, Adam, get out.
I would, but Ryan is in my way. I've been trying to get out for a long time.
Hey, pull me right back in.
He called Mogo in Blackest Night. He's just killing
planets. This war of the Green Lanterns. Yeah.
He has a history of snapping necks. A history of killing planets.
How do you snap the neck of a planet?
Didn't he? Blew it up.
Carefully.
It doesn't have a neck.
So how about a book,
he broke
book
it
I read today
it.
Thank you.
That came out last week was Saga. Did anybody else read that?
Yeah. I haven't read it yet.
So it's hard to penetrate the market with a new book.
That's the last time I blushed when reading a book.
Yeah, that... Yeah.
Did you read that?
I haven't read it yet, no.
So basically one of the freelancers, the assassins that's going after the two main characters, goes to a planet called Sextillion, which is kind of a... basically a brothel planet, for lack of a better word for it. And some of the imagery that Fiona Staples drew, I mean, I was even taken aback at a couple of the pages. I was like, that's in a comic? Okay.
Wow,
like,
man. I especially enjoyed the Naked Man Pyramid.
Yeah.
I don't know how to respond to that, Donnie.
Let's all state our names before we comment, Donnie.
My name is Joe. That was
I like Naked Men Pyramid.
What are you talking about, Joe?
But I thought it moved the rest of the story along very well as well. But yeah, Sextillion was a very interesting.
Yeah.
That doesn't even sound real. That sounds like it actually is coming from like.
Well, it's coming from Bri K. Vaughan, who wrote the book. So
it's funny because when I was like 15, I would scavenge whatever dirty stuff I could find off the computer. Now that I'm older, I'm like, oh my,
this does not belong.
Like I'm like.
Did you have a pair? See that? Did you have a pair of opera glasses that you could pull down? And you said, "Oh my!" Yeah, I hope you did.
Oh my god!
Get a little hot and bothered.
You say what, that was issue 4.
Yeah.
George Takei is behind you. He's like, "Oh my!"
It is good though.
It is a really interesting story, and that's just one aspect of it.
What's the page count per issue?
Not like the first one.
1 million.
It's regular.
That first
22.
The first one was double sized. Okay. Image has been doing that. They did it with America's Got Powers. Mm-hmm. They did it with.
I think
they do it with someone else.
Thief of Thieves.
No, I don't think that was a.
No,
it wasn't. It might have just been those two.
That's a good book that hasn't shipped. No, that wasn't.
It's shipping okay. I've had trouble keeping it on the shelf, but I think now I've overdone it when they hit the fifth prints, and I'm like, okay, fine, 5, and now.
Right.
What is the book he's talking about, Cole?
Saga.
No, I want to hear him say it. saga.
No, I guess I should make an announcement. I finally finished Game 5 of Game of Thrones, so I can actually get back to reading comics.
Yeah.
Really, really good books, but very addictive. And it was like, oh, I can read a comic book, or I can read another chapter.
If they made it into a comic book, that would have been easier.
They did, but that's coming out even slower.
Mm. Yeah, just watch the TV show.
Because I don't have HBO.
Books are faster.
Yeah, I'm a read it before I watch it kind of guy. So, but now I'm caught up, so now I can start reading comics. So I'll get caught up. I'll read Saga.
We need to buy more stuff so you can get HBO.
No.
All right, we won't buy more stuff.
Long story, we had it, and then our little free period ended, and our bill went up $90, and it was like, okay.
DirecTV too.
No, it was Comcast. So it was like, okay, well, how about if we get rid of the movie channels? Oh, that would be $90 down. I'm like, that's easy enough.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Nothing, not needed. My wife looked at me like, you just got Netflix. You don't need HBO. Like,
I canceled all my pay-per-view shows. Just for the same reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I have the internet. What would I need for?
So, but I'm just, I'll get back to reading books now. But, of course, as soon as I finish that, now I'm working on the order. I did 3 hours of data entry last night, so I had great plans of reading stuff, but it didn't happen.
Yeah. Did anybody else read Nightwing?
I did
last week.
Mm-hmm. That was good.
Last week was a puzzling week of books for me because I didn't absolutely. The only thing I really loved that I read was Daredevil. Nightwing, I really wanted to like. I just can't get on with this series. I got the first couple of issues when the number ones came out, and I just couldn't get into it. Something about Higgins' writing doesn't work with me. I don't know why. And this issue, do we really need another, like, underground, faceless, evil society trying to control Gotham?
Always.
But how many of these are there, and why hasn't Batman taken them down yet? I know the new 52 Batman isn't as all-knowing and as invincible as he was, pre-Flashpoint.
I don't think it's that. I think things just migrate to Gotham.
I know. We touched on this in Black Mirror. Gotham is a den of iniquity,
with the earthquake,
I understand.
There's so many hiding places.
But 13th floor of every building. Did the earthquake happen? We don't know if the earthquake happened anymore. We don't know if No Man's Land happened.
Yeah,
never
I thought they
about
mentioned
it.
We'll find out.
Oh, no, that's, I'm thinking before
just
52.
Just to mention, right.
What was it? Was it Scott Snyder's run or something with the black mask, the new black mask? Wasn't his base under, like, a cave part
that was
that
Tony
used to be
Daniel.
Part of the... That was Tony
I thought
Daniel.
That was Talia. Wait a minute, I'm all confused.
I know. See, that's what I mean. There are so many underground places.
That book was so good. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan, I don't want to say I forced Ryan, but Ryan... Well, not speed read, but the first thing he grabbed Batman Inc. out. Of course, because he's a
Morrisonite, Morrison fan. Morrison,
yeah, I was trying to think.
Junkie.
Apostle of Morrison, whatever. But
Morrisonian.
Scary.
Reading that yesterday, I read that in the story yesterday, and I just smile reading his stuff.
I
love
did.
Chris Burnham's
oh,
art.
Man.
Just Morrison stuff is just so wacky. You just sit there.
Yeah.
I love
it. It's the
issue.
Little details he puts in. And not just... Batman Inc. 2 came out today, so I can't say much about it. But
no,
look at Talia's... She's running... There's a flashback to Talia when she's like 8 running down the stairs calling for Ra's Al Ghul, whichever you prefer.
I say
her
Raish.
Dad.
Bill.
And Bill Al Ghul.
Bill Al Ghul.
He's the lost cousin. He doesn't use the Lazarus Pits. He's old and crotchety. No, but she's running down the stairs and her coloring book is flying open.
Yes, and it's
you can
a picture
of
him.
Picture
of
Ra's Al Ghul with the green cape and it says Daddy underneath of it. It's so funny.
Now, minor point.
Yeah,
this is from reading an issue, a back issue,
of
the magazine back issue
the one that came out.
You
today?
Just bought one. It's not the one that came out today, but it was a Neil Adams issue.
It's a cool book,
and he drew a very distinctive thing for Bill Al Ghul. And
the sword fight in the desert.
No, artist since has botched. Ra's Al Ghul has no eyebrows, and he specifically drew him with no eyebrows. And Burnham draws him with no eyebrows.
Really?
It was just one of those things from this article that stuck in my head.
I didn't notice. Let's find
and,
out.
But Burnham
God, there
drew
no
him
eyebrows.
With no eyebrows.
Maybe Ross was going through a metrosexual.
Yeah, no, I don't know why. But he drew him that way. It was so funny. But you're right about that little thing about the coloring page.
It's
it was
just those little things.
I love Chris Burnham's art.
Just pencils them in.
But back to Nightwing.
Just threw him in for a couple of years.
Like, I like the subplot that... And it's a subplot we've seen before of, oh no, someone got murdered with one of Nightwing's Eskrima sticks, so obviously Nightwing's a murderer now. But then... It's like they took that trope even further. So now there's the cop that's on the Gotham force, and he's a bad cop, and he's been arrested for trying to frame Batman before, but they couldn't prove that.
There's no bad cops in Gotham.
Well, yeah, I know that. I'm fine with bad cops in Gotham.
There's a character whose name is
like
Bad Cop.
Yeah, that's what I'm waiting for, basically. The technicality on which they do this little flashback page where they show the cops chasing Batman, and they explain that this cop was arrested once because he, like, faked a crime scene. Like, he scratched a dead body with a batarang. And
yeah,
I was like, oh, look, I found a batarang with blood on it. Batman did it. So they tried.
My other question was there.
I'm sorry, what?
Where did he find the batarang?
That's what I want to know. But, I mean,
Batarang leaves
okay.
him alone.
Yeah, I was just going to say, he throws them everywhere.
But to the point, though,
it's
is
like
that
finding a webbing in
New York.
Think
he picks them all up?
Right.
He's but running.
Webbing dissolves.
It does after 2 hours. After it's set in the books, like, somewhere. But anyway,
it's
Nightwing, they say to this cop, Gordon comes up and says, now, I know you're working lead on this case, and you think Nightwing killed this guy, but I know what you did with that batarang, and I'm watching you, and he's all like, oh, I'll sue the department. If you, yeah, exactly. That's what I read
it,
basically.
It actually said translated just from Grandpa next to Gordon's lines, so you could read it in that voice.
I guess I miss when Nightwing, they want to make Nightwing his own hero again, but then why is he still in Gotham? Why can't he just go back to Bloodhaven? I know, maybe Bloodhaven doesn't exist. I mean, it got nuked and blown up before Final Crisis happened anyway, so maybe it doesn't exist anymore.
It's in the other dimension right now.
Probably is. Wally
it's
West
with,
is there.
Yeah, Wally West.
But it just, I don't know. I can't get into the stories in Nightwing, and I really want to. I love Dick Grayson as a character, and I love Nightwing. It's just, like, he, you know, then he finds this other secret society that's trying to take over Gotham City. I'm like, okay, the Owls just happened.
Yeah, there's
so,
a
like,
bunch of teenagers
wearing body armor
and very similar. Yes.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. Basically, there's this guy named Paragon, and he says that he's the true son of Gotham City. So of course, that's going to throw into conflict the fact that now Dick Grayson is actually
like,
from Gotham City. Yeah,
we're
I know.
The true
I just,
sons of...
I'd like to see a book where all these like evil corporations and evil things go to war with each other. No, but even more
that's
than that, like, you know.
Yeah, that's Daredevil.
I know, but I mean, like, you could get, like, Shade and
the Order of St. Dumas.
And, yeah, all those things. And, you know, this Paragon guy and the Court of Owls and
you
the Crime Bible.
You know what
Bible
I was expecting when I saw the Alpha Omega symbol that when they first revealed that
side?
Was Azrael.
Right.
That's exactly, that was what I was expecting. If it
Talon
was,
is basically Azrael.
If it was I a guess, Superman book, I would have thought Darkseid.
I guess
yeah,
I just
the assassin trained to kill, trying to overcome his programming
but
and work on the side of good.
No religious overtones to Talons.
But sadly.
I guess my problem with Nightwing is that the book doesn't feel special. The book doesn't feel different. It just feels like, okay, here's all the plot that happened in Batman. Now we're going to do stuff with that over here in Nightwing. Like, the Night of the Owls tie-in, that worked because that was directly tied to Dick Grayson. That was more of an event. But now we're getting into...
Well, he does make reference to I was supposed to be a Talon at some point.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, like, how long is that going to drive this book? Yeah. I really didn't want that to go past the Night of the Owls
two,
time.
Yeah, the
that's
two
fine,
issues.
You know? I mean, I understand they changed his origin now because of that, but it doesn't necessarily.
Well, they didn't change it. He
that's
was
the thing.
The
it doesn't.
Victim. His parents still died. He's still gonna. You know,
yeah, it's one just, of those things that could have happened but didn't, so I feel like it didn't really change his origin, but that's what they're going to harp on for the next couple of years.
They just expanded his origin, I guess, maybe.
But did we need that? I don't really think we need that. Even when I read it in the Batman issue, I was like, really? I mean, it's a nice twist for Batman, but I don't think it carries over into Nightwing as well.
Didn't you think it kind of felt like it was written for somebody just coming on the scene now, and it was kind of like a slap
well,
in the face to the guy that had been reading the book for a long time?
I mean, I felt that way at first, because I was reading before the New 52, but at the same time, like I was just saying, it doesn't change his origin completely. It just says, like, oh, yeah.
It's the secret origin.
Well, not even that. It's like, you know, if your parents hadn't died and if Bruce hadn't taken you from the circus, you would have been a Talon.
Mm.
But that's not what happened. We
so
still
you do
know,
like it.
If you made
I'm fine
the
with it, but the problem with it is that I feel like they're going to harp on that for years and years and years. Now, every time we get a little, like, blurb, like, I'm Wolverine and I'm the best and I am at what I do. I'm Nightwing and I could have been a Talon, but I wasn't.
Mm.
Okay, irrelevant. Move on. I'm sorry.
That's
going to
be
know,
in the
like,
little box in the front
no, no.
of the book.
Dick Grayson could have been a Talon, but he wasn't. Go pick up Talon number 0 by Dan Stinney and the 4th and Scott Snyder. Okay, whatever. You know?
I was abducted from a circus, or my parents died in a circus. I couldn't have been a Talon, but
right,
I'm not.
But I'm not.
I got a question about that, and see if anybody else picked that up. If he, being that they didn't pursue him at all since he was taken by Bruce.
Right.
Why didn't they pursue him at all?
They would have known who he is.
Why couldn't have they have just went after that? Why did they just say, okay, never mind?
I mean, I'm sure it was public news.
And did they have, like, backup talents? Like, in case that happens? Because it seems like it's a long process to get a talent.
I had never read the rest of the Nightwing story, but wasn't that the first arc of Nightwing? Was that someone else that Dick had grown up with at the circus came back? And he was mad because he got passed over, I guess.
By Bruce Wayne or by the Talons?
By the Talons. He got passed over by the Talons because they favored Dick. And then after Dick's parents died and Dick went away, they, instead of picking this kid next, they picked somebody else over him, even. So...
those kids are messed up.
I guess I'm just disappointed because I really want to like Nightwing and I don't.
I do like how they're going into a little bit of this stuff with Haley Circus.
Yeah, I like that there
are
too
like much with Haley Circus.
Other characters
like
that are developing. Yeah. I did like in the first issue. There's the guy who's the clown at the circus, and of course they show up. I think he says they show up to Gotham, and it would figure that all he has left is white face paint and a green wig, and he like refuses to wear that in Gotham. He's like, I'm never going to do that, and I thought that was funny. But
well, and I think the interesting twist in this was the person that's financing his new circus adventure, right?
Yeah, you
or
know,
possibly.
Well, yeah, they jump on. They touched on that in Black Mirror, Scott Snyder's Black Mirror, that he had some dealings with Sonya Branch, who was Sonya Zuko, the daughter of the man that killed his parents. So she's back now, and she agrees that she'll finance the circus
for
him. So
she's going to talk to people. Well,
okay.
She's going to,
there's
obviously.
There's that tenuous relationship, because every time she appears, he always mentions how cute he thinks she is.
Right.
So,
and I asked Nick this on Saturday.
Adam and
do you think the Joker is going to be kind of irritated that they took his hideout? Because basically, isn't amusement mile always his hideout?
Well,
he's going to be like, "Hey, what?"
I remember that from the games, but I don't remember that ever in the book.
Once in a while, they have him in the amusement park.
I forget what I'm going to have to dig this up.
I think that's why amusement mile exists.
There's a part in the. It might have been Gates of Gotham, but it might have been one of the Tony Daniels stories where someone had a throwaway line saying that Gotham used to have a really expansive area that was just full of different theme parks, but then when the Depression hit, all the theme parks tanked, so now there's just a bunch of abandoned theme parks laying around for villains to use. Box, text box, couple of text boxes, whatever. Whole entire issue encyclopedia entry.
Spread.
Yeah. However you want to spin that. But I would like Nightwing more. I just can't. But Daredevil was really cool. I liked Daredevil last week.
DC Universe Presents last week was really good.
Oh, is that the last issue of
No, this is the second issue of the Savage.
Yeah.
Vandal James, Savage with his daughter Cassidy.
James Robinson and Cliff Chang. Yeah.
That's I've heard Cliff good Chang. Cliff Bernard?
Bernard Chang.
Bernard Chang.
That's right. I'm sorry. Cliff Chang is Wonder Woman.
Yeah, it is very much a episode of Criminal Minds meets Vandal Savage story.
That's what I've heard.
It's very. And you know, it's funny. James Robinson's quickly becoming one of my favorite writers.
You didn't like him before.
And my first exposure to him was when he did Justice League, and I thought it was one of the worst written books ever. And I would still stand by that it was a pretty poorly written book.
He had been out of it for a while, too, when he did that.
But what did it introduce?
Girl Bob?
That's right.
Yeah. Girl Bob.
Congorilla.
No, but you were trying to come up with the name of Congorilla.
You could not remember Congorilla.
And you came up with Gorilla Bob.
And therefore we have a mascot for the podcast.
Yes.
Still waiting for artwork.
Nobody talks about it
anymore.
Who was the artist on last week's
Daredevil?
I'm busy. Mike Allred?
Chris
Sammy.
Did the Mike Allred issue come out yet?
17.
No.
Couple. I think 2 months from now.
That's going to be big.
Oh, yeah. For you people on Twitter, J.H. Williams now has a Twitter.
J.H. Williams died? Did he die?
No, he hasn't. Is it, though?
Oh, okay.
What?
No, the joke is everybody dies on Twitter.
Okay.
No, the joke is that when you're on Twitter, there's nobody that checks your facts, so you can say anything.
Oh.
Like, here, we can't really lie, because Colin would, you know, smack us afterwards. We can't just say something for the sake of saying it.
Yeah.
We have an editor named Colin.
But yeah, but he actually replied to my
Hardly.
Comment about,
yeah.
I comment about how I hate the non-linear storytelling in Batwoman, and he actually replied to my comment, which I was very
oh, yeah. Shut up.
No, he actually said that it's an experiment that we've been trying and we can't please everybody. And you'll be happy to know that when this arc's
non-linear,
over...
Non-linear, holy crap.
Oh, wait.
That's way too many characters.
Batman Incorporated 2 there's three panels in a row, and you're kind of having to figure out when they actually occur.
Well, since you're all over the place. Batwoman.
You said J.G. Jones, but did you mean J.H. Williams?
J.H. Williams.
Yeah.
I said J.H. Williams,
okay.
Didn't I?
You said J.G. Jones at the start, and when you said J.G. Jones as a Twitter.
J.H. Williams III.
No, you said J.G. Jones. I'm really confused why you're talking about Batwoman. Anyway, yes, J.H. Williams, Batwoman.
J.H. Williams on Batwoman.
That's okay. All right, sorry. Just checking.
That's a book that I canceled.
Yeah.
You don't have the power to cancel.
I feel like I should take that book.
He's doing interiors again.
Cut it up and then fix it.
I mean,
it's them telling the same story, but what it is it'll say, like, here's Batwoman's story now. And then it'll be like, here's her dad's story 2 weeks ago. Here's Cassandra Cain's story, who is Batwoman.
Right.
2 weeks ago. But, here's this. But 4 hours ago.
The problem with for me was issue to issue, the amount of the flashback changes. So you'll see. You know, Jacob Kane's story 2 weeks ago, one issue. The next issue, you'll see Jacob Kane's story 1 week ago. And then the next issue, Jacob Kane's story 4 weeks ago. And I understand what they're trying to do, but all the jumping around really ruins all the surprises that they were trying to get at in the books.
Yeah, I like Adam's idea. I'm going to cut it apart.
Do you remember those things in grade school they used to give you? They were like four things, and then you had to cut them up. You had to cut them out and make them into the right order. That's
what you
want to
do with this book?
Yeah.
Grade school is a longer term.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a long time for some of us. I
realize it was only a couple of years ago for you. Not for you.
Well, yeah, Ryan.
Remember Choose Your Own Adventure, where you'd get to a point in the book and then you'd choose wherever you wanted the story to go?
I wish there were comic books.
I'd do that anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, I remember.
Now, what do you like, Game of Thrones?
The Choose Your Destiny books.
Choose Your Own Adventure, Game of Thrones.
If Duke lives, go to page 27
to read the story.
No, I don't like that. Go back.
I would want to read every single sequel.
That book took forever.
I just read them in order. Oh.
It didn't make much sense.
If you read them in order, it prepares you to read Morrison later.
That's very good. Very good.
That must have been what I did, and I just didn't remember. Yeah. That's why.
That's
I like
Morrison.
Crisis,
he's writing
it's brilliant. It's
brilliant.
Brilliant. Yes.
It's kind of like J.H. Williams is trying to Tarantino it.
Well,
and failing at
I'm wondering how much of the writing is him and how much is W. Hayden Blackman. Because he's co-writing with W. Hayden Blackman.
What's with these initials?
Yeah, it is different, though, because that's not how they were writing it before.
Well, Grant Rucker was writing
before. An experiment for this arc.
It was dumb.
Well, they should stop now.
It was a dumb experiment.
Adam says it was dumb.
This is fine.
It's unfortunately already written, I'm guessing.
I'll fix that.
I also didn't really care for them bringing magic so much into it. I mean...
There's magic involved? I'm so clueless in what's
that's
going
what
on.
The thing is, that's... plot is that in the first story arc, she was investigating this woman who drowned her kids and died and killed herself. And now this ghostly apparition is going through Gotham taking other people's kids, and she's trying to track down the kids. Well, she finds out when she's confronting this ghostly apparition that it says...
It's Old Man Chicken.
I know, right? It says... If it wasn't for you, dang bat people. It says, they made me like this. You need to find them and save my children. So she finds out that, I guess, the children that this woman has been taking are being given over to this guy who dresses in samurai armor for some reason and has a giant base underneath the Gotham Harbor. See?
Yet another!
Yes, another base underneath Gotham City where all these people are hiding and scheming.
That's what causes the earthquake.
Right? Yeah, it's like, Batman and geologist versus villain. Stop destabilizing the Earth's crust. But he, for some reason that I can't figure out at all, that I don't know if they're ever going to reveal, wants these kids, and his brother or sister or something has the magic metahuman ability to make folktales real. So they're preying on this, I guess, like Latino folktale of the drowning woman who, like the weeping woman who drowned her kids and drowned herself and came back as like a water entity. They made that real because they basically made this woman drown her kids and then used the belief that she had to turn her into that.
The one that throws me for a loop is Bloody Mary.
Yeah, and that's
saying Bloody Mary in the mirror three times.
So you have this Bloody Mary character that they don't explain. Yeah, they say Bloody Mary in the mirror a few times. Bloody Mary, shows up and she's like, give me the children. And they're like, we'll give you the children if you help us. Well, we don't even know what they're trying to do. Killer Croc is there for some reason, but he's mutated and has like six eyes and he looks more like an alligator instead of a crocodile. Yeah,
he's Killer Owl.
And then there's this guy named Captain Hook who... it's the guy in the first arc. You see that Betty, Kate's cousin and sidekick. That's how that's her. It's her cousin.
Cousin, right?
She tries to stop a robbery, and this Captain Hook guy, who's just this big, like, hulking monster with a big hook for a hand, he, like, slices her open, and she goes in the hospital, and that's how Kate gets, like, thrown into
the
DEO.
So what you're saying is these guys were doing acid while watching Peter Pan.
I don't even know anymore. I don't even...
He's right. Crocodiles?
There's an alligator?
Yeah. There's a Captain Hook, there's a Bloody Mary, and a water, and I don't know what they're doing. There's a ship, and samurai,
and pirates.
I just stopped.
Yeah, that's like, Tinkerbell. Because that was in Cattlemen, too. They're dumping kids and whores.
I don't know. That's another thing. Like, I really want to like Batwoman, but I just can't get into it.
Yeah. I'll stick it out to see what the next arc is, just because J.H. Williams is doing art again.
You're a brave soul.
Yeah, I gave it up.
Well, for what I spend in a week, $6 two months isn't going to kill me.
I know. Colin, what did you think of Daredevil? I almost called you Daredevil.
I was talking about this with Dan Garbrook earlier. I haven't read Daredevil since Omega Effect because Omega Effect disappointed me.
Okay.
And so I haven't read Daredevil or Punisher.
And that's what I've
I never
hearing.
Read Avenging Spider-Man. That's, so yeah. I just, it comes out and I just kind of went...
You gotta get back on the horse.
Dan had said,
"Yeah, I'll work on it."
Dan said, and I think Matt, you agreed, and some other people online were saying that they didn't think Daredevil was as good lately as it was when it started. But I jumped on during Omega Effect.
What did you think of it?
I thought Omega Effect was cool, but it didn't really get resolved.
Right.
I mean, I can see why you're disappointed because he built it up to be this big thing, and Murdoch had this big plan of okay. I have the Omega Drive, and I'm going to throw it up in the air, and Punisher, you're going to shoot it with a special gun that Spidey made, and it's going to finally destroy the Omega Drive, but it's not really the Omega Drive. I'm going to keep it. I'm just going to do it in front of all these criminal organizations so they think that I don't have it anymore. But that got botched, and that never happened, and then he eventually just ended up giving the Omega Drive to the Avengers anyway, like he should have in the first place. So, Daredevil.
Okay.
The issue I have is kind of like with Colin, but mm-hmm. I kind of still like this issue. This Omega Drive thing has gone on long enough.
It's
not only, you know, I understand what they were doing with it at the beginning. I was like, okay, this is a new thing. Let's see where it goes. Well, you think it's going to end in Omega Effect,
no.
But it doesn't. So that leaves Omega Effect as being irrelevant.
Yeah,
well, I think it's going to be. I think it's going to become an artifact like the Infinity Gauntlet or something. Like, I think it's just going to be a tool they use.
You can't really do much.
I think the luster of those things has gone away from the Silver Age, though.
I hope they don't abuse it, but I think it's going to be something they can go back to. I don't think it'll ever get destroyed.
The Infinity Gauntlet is like an all-powerful device.
You just give it to Reed Richards. He goes, "Oh, I'll just erase this."
He's like,
and that's the thing. Reed Richards was in the Spider-Man issue, and Reed was like, "I'm busy, Spidey. Can you go see what Daredevil's doing with this stuff?" And be like, "Reed, why are you that busy?" Like, now I haven't been reading Fantastic Four or FF, but apparently
he
had
to shrink himself and go in the mailman's head and get rid of the cancer.
That's what you told me about that. And yeah.
Just a side note: I think the cover of FF this month was quite possibly the worst cover. One of the worst covers I've ever seen, only in the means, or what I mean is, the idea of a cover
the
is
eyes
to...
Were pointing.
No. The idea
worst
of a cover,
cover ever.
The idea of a cover is to sell a book, to make you see the cover and go, I mean, that's how it used to be. It used to be, you know, some bizarre Batman doing something on the cover, and you go, I have to read this, you know.
What is that?
But
he's a scarecrow.
So, I mean, that was the idea, you know, some blurb, you know, Jimmy Olsen is a huge turtle. What? I have to buy this. On the cover, it has the two Franklin kids, or Richards kids, riding a rhino. One is playing his DS, and the girl is drinking from a Capri Sun. I'm just looking at it going, there is nothing about this cover that makes me go, I have to read
this. That sums up what the comics are going to be about this whole year.
There you go.
So that means
Capri Sun. 2012,
I just
the summer of Capri Sun.
I remember when it was in previews, just looking at it going, you're missing the point of what the cover's supposed to be.
Right.
Hmm.
What did you think of Punisher last week, Ryan?
I thought it was good, but I haven't been reading it from the beginning. My first introduction to his sidekick, Rachel, was Omega Effect. And from what I knew from Omega Effect, you know, she's the reason it doesn't go off like Daredevil planned. Instead of... throwing the Omega Drive up in the air like she's supposed to so Punisher can shoot it, she just shoots Daredevil in the back and takes it.
But again, bad storytelling, because I remember reading that going, having to go back and look at it because it just he throws it and there's two sounds of a gun going off, which is what was supposed to happen. And then all of a sudden,
I don't even think there's sounds of a gun. Oh, yeah, there is, like, but it's silenced gunshots. Yeah,
yeah,
and then
he just
falls.
Right, and he's falling, and you're like, why is he falling?
You don't even figure out to the next issue of Daredevil. He says, oh, yeah, now I'm fighting all these people because I got shot in the back twice, but with rubber bullets.
Yeah.
And,
what the heck?
Well, they were supposed to be using rubber bullets because Spider-Man made Punisher promise they wouldn't kill anyone because nobody dies, according to Spider-Man.
Until the end of Ends of the Earth.
Right.
But nobody dies.
She takes the Omega Drive because she says, Punisher and I can use the information to kill all these evil organizations and it won't be a problem anymore. So Daredevil talks her down, but still, she betrayed Frank Castle, which, in my mind, that's punishable by death by the Punisher. Yeah, and that's what he does. So instead, in issue 12, he seeks her out. And
unless Frank was in on it.
I don't think... Well, they don't establish that. I mean, if he is, but...
Too much.
If he was, they should have established that in the crossover. But, so he goes back to her and says, you know... He says that she's not committed to his cause enough, and that if she wants to be committed to his cause, you can't have luxuries. So she needs to let go of the memory of her husband, who died, which is why she stopped being a police officer and started running around with Punisher. He said that she either has to get over it or quit helping him out, because she's not helping. And he tells her to empty her pockets, and she pulls out, like, an iPod and a picture of her and her husband on their wedding day, and a couple other things, and he says, separate these into tools and luxuries, and she doesn't do it right.
Separates them.
Yeah, so, like, the iPod and the picture of her husband are on one side, and the gun and the knife and the bullets and the matches are on the other, and he says, in our life, you can't have luxuries, and luxuries are going to get you killed, and that's what clouds your judgment, and that's why you did what you did. So you have to choose between luxury and the tools, and she chooses the tools. She burns the picture of her and her husband, and that's how the issue ends. Now, I just thought that was out of character for Frank, because I honestly just expected him to kill her and be done with it, because I really thought that's what was going to happen. And, I mean, I wouldn't think that Frank would even trust her at all after that, even give her a choice.
Maybe
at the very least, I thought
similar,
he would just walk away.
How similar their backgrounds are.
Maybe he's trying to teach her to turn into the Punisherette, or Lady Punisher.
Right, and that's what
so
I thought, too,
a
of
series later on.
You and Dan were talking online,
didn't you like
saying,
that the Lady Punisher?
Did he consider the picture a luxury?
Yes.
Because she won't let go of it.
Anything that reminded her of her life.
I think,
but isn't his whole mission not letting go?
Rucka's idea of the Punisher, I think, is more that he's moved past his family's death, and his whole mission is just punishing people now.
But then he hasn't, because his whole mission is because of what happened.
And that's what I think Rucka's drawing on, the contradiction that Frank is a hypocrite.
Yeah, but I think it's still his motivating factor, but I think remembering his wife and carrying around keepsakes is a distraction from him getting his job done.
I guess, yeah.
But I think that's his whole thought process in punishing.
But I think
Otherwise, he wouldn't have anything to fuel him to punish.
What I think he's trying to say is, I have enough memories, I don't need to look at a picture, I don't need any of these things to distract me. So I have my guns, I have my
tools. He doesn't have any reminders.
I don't see his point, then. Why is he going on doing this if he doesn't... If he wants to forget about it, go stop killing people because they remind you of the people who killed your family.
I'm just saying, if you lose someone close to you, you don't need a picture to remember them.
I guess.
I like the story, I like the issue. If I hadn't jumped on Punisher with Omega Effect, I wouldn't have found out about Marco Cicchetto, who's a really cool artist.
That art is really good.
Marco Cicchetto? Yes, I'll have the Marco Cicchetto, please. I'm sorry, Mr. Cicchetto.
Friend of the podcast.
Not anymore. Yeah. But,
thanks, Ryan.
Yeah, my fault. Jeez. But I don't know. I don't think the Punisher... They said they advertised number 12 as being a good jumping on point, and I didn't really think that it was.
Marvel advertises a lot as being a good
jumping on point.
That really is.
Should have known.
Isn't that what point ones
were? Like any issue of Avengers right now, a good jumping
we're
on
gonna
point.
We're going to jump you on to Ultron War.
You and Dan were talking online about Frank's motivation for giving her the second chance, and I do see how it could be sort of, like I said, the complexity of his character. He doesn't realize that he's being a hypocrite, and also I think another reason why he would keep her around is that he wants her around, but he's not going to admit that, and he might not even know that himself. It's just a subconscious thing. Because otherwise, I mean, from what I've heard of this run of Punisher, he says like two words in every issue, and that's it. In Omega Effect, he said barely like five sentences. And even when he talked to Rachel, the most that he said was, you have to choose between luxury and tools.
Right.
And beyond that, he didn't really say much
else. I don't think he actually said that much. I think he's like, tools, luxuries, choose.
I think it was
three words.
So I think it's to the point, from a character standpoint, I think he wants her around because I think he'll just totally break and go crazy without her. from a comic writing standpoint, that's why Rucka has all these supporting characters in the book that I didn't know who
Rucka's
they were.
Trying to introduce a strong female character because that's his bread and butter.
That is. That's his shtick. And that's fine. He's good at it.
He's very good.
I'm sure he's probably upset that I would refer to it as shtick. So. Sorry, Mr. Rucka. There I go again.
Yeah. I think everybody has their strengths.
It does, yeah.
His claims to fame, Wonder Woman, Batwoman. They're all queen and country.
I mean, you look at Maggie Sawyer in Gotham Central, those characters, Renee Montoya. Mm. So
we don't know who that is. She's lost to the...
She's in Earth 62. Earth, the imaginary Earth Prime.
I like that you brought up Marco Cecchetto because he's pretty consistent. He did he did all of the artwork on Punisher, right?
No, I think he might have skipped some issues, like I said.
I know he did the whole first arc, whereas even on the Daredevil first arc, weren't there three arcs on the first Daredevil first arc?
I read issues 11 and 12.
The first arc was Marcus Martin and Paul Rivera. It's been since then.
Both of whom have left in the book.
And since then it's been Chris Samnee, Coy Pham, Mike Allred's coming up.
Pick an artist.
And these are all good artists, but it really exposes Marvel's idea behind Daredevil being Mark Waid's book. And they even title the hardcovers Daredevil by Mark Waid.
Yeah. I forget, did you read that article the other day? I think it might have been on CBR. Someone was making the argument of, people always say that reviewers aren't fair to the artists. People focus too much on the story rather than reviewing the art. And he used the example of Mark Waid's Daredevil. Well, how can he review the art consistently over as an arc when the artists change so often? And it really is Mark Waid's Daredevil because he's the only constant on the title. So why not? It's his vision for the story, so why not focus on that? Versus,
you don't get any consistency between Marcus Martin, Coy Pham, Mike Allred, like. However, those are all marquee names. Those are all artists who I want to see their story.
Coy Pham, a marquee name.
Coy Pham's good, man.
I'm not saying he's not good. I'm just saying calling it marquee is a little bit of a stretch.
Well, I mean, maybe 2004, but like in 2012, Coy Pham is a big deal.
Let's keep this going. Go on.
Versus like an artist driven book, which I mean the only one I can think of is like Batman Dark Knight. That's the David Finch Batman book. I mean David Finch is still drawing it. There's a new writer on, and which is why I picked
it
up.
Isn't he co-penciling?
No.
He's actually drawing the whole thing again? I thought he was.
According to this issue, I'm pretty sure he's drawing the whole thing.
How about that splash page for Batman Earth 1? Since I just caught it out of the corner of my eye while you're flipping.
You mean the cover?
Well, is that the cover? Is that what it is? Yeah. That is gorgeous.
He's listed as the penciler, Richard Friend is the inker, and there are no other drawing type artists, just colorist letterer.
Richard Friend's a good inker. He is a friend of any penciler.
And the podcast?
So Earth, are you looking forward to Batman Earth 1?
I don't know if I'm looking forward to it, but that cover is gorgeous.
It's a cool cover. I mean, it's Gary Frank. I like Gary Frank's artwork. He's gotten better at drawing children. It wasn't last week, didn't you guys talk about drawing children and how they're not just small people, they have different proportions. I remember when Gary Frank was drawing
I have a problem with Gary Frank.
Are you what? Lazy eyes?
Some of his faces tend to look the same. If you look at I like his artwork; it's very good. But I thought a lot of the characters in the Superman and the Legion of Superheroes arc of Action Comics, I thought all the characters
that was
the
really
same.
Good. Yeah, yeah, no, but, either. It was some of the covers of the Superman Secret Origin.
The
faces, maybe not even eyes, but just some of the faces were very stiff and very awkward.
Some of the first couple of issues of that, when he would draw Clark Kent as a child, were really, like you were saying, the proportions weren't. Didn't look quite right. I still think he's a great artist, and I really like his work. I like what he's doing on Shazam and Justice League. But with Earth 1, I have no interest in the Earth 1 books. Like, I didn't like Superman Earth 1.
It's always funny when they draw Clark Kent as a child, and he always looks really bulky, weird. Yeah.
But he's always angry.
What's up with that? Yeah.
Well, I kind of want to see if Batman's, like, happy Batman, because they made Superman kind of an emo goth kid.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see if,
chances are no.
Well, Batman's like happy-go-lucky Batman.
I guess my thing is,
hey Robin, let's go get ice cream after we take care of the penguin.
Like the 60s.
I just want to.
That's a problem.
The Justice League that came out this week, I far preferred the Shazam backup story. Mm-hmm.
His art or just the story?
Just the story. The Justice League story I was lacking, but the backup I thought was very good.
It's on the wire for me right now. Johns is going to have to. So far, this story arc has been good, but I want it to end.
It's going to need to. explain. Well, this is just the second issue of this new arc.
Correct. Well, we had a pro. I didn't read it. I just flipped through it. Flipping. No, I don't read that fast. I don't read as fast.
Yeah,
he did a prologue issue, and then last month's was part one, and this month is part two.
Okay.
So I'm wondering, is this only going to be like a 5-4-part story? Because before the Zero issues come out, because number
not necessarily it doesn't have to end before the Zero. I think the Zeros are just kind of a stepping in. I think it looks
it
like,
seems
the
like
Zero
a lot of the titles were ending before the
some
Zeros
of them,
come
yeah.
out. Though, but, yeah,
but I just looking at the previews, it looks like the Zero issue is going to be a
Shazam
issue. Shazam
issue. I'm totally excited about that. Finally, get my Shazam story.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the Zeros.
Maybe. Yeah,
I was happy looking at the.
Yeah.
No, I think it's going to be good.
I'm excited. I might get more of the Zeros than I was planning on.
It's it's another stunt.
Are we going to do that?
Like the Frankenstein one is going to be the origin of Frankenstein.
Just tell it.
Right, but this is a way to do it without having to start the story saying, here's the origin of Frankenstein, now we'll move on to the story. You know, like so many of them do.
As a story arc.
But I mean,
I think that's how they're able to derail
this. This way they're able to get a jumping on point.
This is DC's point one.
It is.
Right, but,
I mean,
but
it works.
All of it through all its
if they do it right,
without
if they don't
random.
Do it right, then it is a point.
Yeah.
Is that going to suck up a different. Whole month?
Yes.
Like, is that going to be...
That's all
for
a month.
Colin, are you doing any specials for your customers?
I don't know yet. The book just came out today, so I haven't even...
And they're doing it for the month? Is that what you're saying?
All of September.
All of September, they're going to be zeros.
That'll be 0 months. So after that, no zeros, right?
And then September.
Then that is different than point issues, because point issues were throughout the entire year just thrown
at spread around.
Yeah, but whatever.
I'd rather have
that
origins.
Month.
Well,
but that's what I'm saying. It seems like a lot of the stories, like the story arc ends. Like I know the Action Comics story arc ends before the Zero issue.
Yeah,
Batman.
These are the covers
issue.
For them.
These are the
what
covers.
No,
Zeros.
They're not the covers.
I'd rather have that thing spread out.
They said it was mock-ups.
Year.
Yeah.
And everyone says not final covers.
I'd rather not have it at all.
Well, yeah.
But I think it's. They said that they underestimated how many questions people would have about the history since
they didn't read the internet.
Well, not 3 months before they
the
announced.
Internet. 3 months before they announced it, we didn't know that
they
were gonna, we didn't know that they were going to start 5 years into the story. And
if
then,
they didn't know how many questions were going to be about continuity going into this, they did not read the internet.
Yeah, but remember, well, they did. But I mean, this is a planning thing. They weren't just going to drop all the stories in the middle of. They said they had the first 6 issues of every story done before they start.
First three,
but still, first 3 issues
yeah,
in. That's
hard.
Been in.
Yeah, I agree.
So by the time the first 3 issues are done, they're already working on 4, 5, and 6. They can't just drop all of that and just okay.
Well, but here's
whatever
what
the story was.
September 2013, is that going to be the 1 million issues?
If it is, I'll buy 1 million again. You know how much I like DC 1 million, but...
And there you go.
Right, there you go. I mean, but we had a lot of questions when the number ones came out. We thought, okay, well, you know, Action Comics pretty much started at the beginning of Superman's career, but not with Batman's. We were like, well, how long has Batman been Batman?
Yeah.
How long has Bruce been doing this? How could he have four or five
so
Robins in 10 years?
That?
There's how many Batman books are there? There's going to be 6 or 7 Batman number zeros. There's
let me see.
Okay, there's Batman Incorporated number zero. There's Batman number zero. There's Detective Comics number zero. There's Batman Dark Knight number zero. Batman and Robin number zero. Batwoman number zero. Batgirl number zero. Nightwing number zero. Batwing number zero.
But like Nightwing number zero is the
origin of Dick
Grayson.
Then you got the Talent Zero.
Yeah, you do. Because you gotta have a talent.
You know what's
book.
Funny? I had no interest
There's
in Team 7 until I read the solicit for it.
I saw the writer on that.
Anyway, I don't know. I'm looking forward to it, but I can see how you guys
I hope they bring Black Canary back in Team 7.
She is.
She is in Team 7.
She's
well,
in
I'm
Team 7.
I'm hoping it's the real Black Canary, not the imaginary...
Dinah Lance.
This is Dinah Lance in the Birds of Prey.
Well, Dina's in... Whatchamacallit.
Birds of Prey,
and it's terrible. It's not Black Canary.
I mean, it's not your Black Canary.
It's not Black. It's not any character resembling Black Canary that I've read.
Mm. So it's different Black Canary.
But I just like the Team 7.
It's a Black Canary.
Deathstroke, Grifter,
Amanda Waller.
Yeah.
Well, I like
Travel
Fiend. I hope this take on Grifter gets back to what they did with him in Flashpoint, because I was really excited for the Grifter book after I read Flashpoint, because what they established
it
in Flashpoint.
Went off the rails,
he was just a special ops soldier that wore a cool mask, and I was like, all right, I'm in, and then... Aliens, suddenly. I know that's a big part of the old 90s Image stuff. Yeah, the Wildstorm stuff, because I know you like it a lot, Joe, but I just could not get into the alien thing at all with the
I
demon.
I want that as like a text tone. Aliens!
But,
Marvel has 2 things they announced.
Oh, sorry, I talked about DC
out.
Too much.
What?
This is War.
Well, they haven't announced it yet. They're going to announce that in San Diego.
And Alpha.
They said something on their own website about it.
Said it or they're just
giving
promo images.
They're doing
promos. But I mean, that's pretty well.
Yeah.
No, they haven't said what it is, but I don't know. Does anybody think it's Ultron War?
Yeah.
Mm. Or do you think it has something? Because the promo image that I've seen of Iron Man has, like, bullets.
Didn't they say it's for, like, August?
Bullet holes in his helmet.
Well, Ultron, yeah, he uses a gun.
Yeah.
No.
So that's the one thing I can
see. Ultron was 45. That's what everybody's afraid of.
I guess he could if he wanted to.
He's going to assimilate the Punisher and become the Ultra Punishon.
Ultra Punishon.
Lady Ultra Punishon.
Yes. They do have a Lady Ultron.
My husband. Punishette.
We got the Cap Shield and the Thor's Hammer.
Well, is that supposed to come out in August?
No, October.
Oh, October. So is AVX going to be done by October?
Yes. AVX ends in September.
All right.
So they're already moving on to the next.
They're already in a war again.
Right.
How many wars can we have?
This could be a fallout.
Civil
war.
We're going to have a Revolutionary War. We're going to have a War of 1812. And
this could be.
We're just
going to
fight Canada with Alpha Flight. Avengers versus Alpha Flight.
Jesus. Well, then, what was the other thing? The Alpha thing with Spider-Man? Is that what you were going to talk about?
Spider-Man gets a sidekick.
I can't. Ooh. Yeah. I don't know how I feel about that. Is that Dan Slott? That's all it sounds like, Dan.
You read the explanation for the story, yeah? Some kid comes to Horizon Labs to see a science experiment by Peter Parker, and he gets zapped with rays, and Peter feels bad, and is like, I have to teach this kid about great power and responsibility.
Is that you?
And this kid's like, I don't want to be a superhero. What are you talking about?
Actually, the character's name is Andrew McGuire, which is just an amalgamation of Andrew Garfield, who plays Spider-Man in the new movie, and Tobey Maguire, who used to
play. Oh, no. Terrible.
Oh, yes, Joe.
That's
horrible. Did you actually read Spider-Man number one?
I think they referred to him as Andy McGuire.
I did, too. I read it on Sunday.
That was horrible.
That
was horrible.
No, I chose not to, because I'm not going to spend money on really something horrible. That I know is going to be
nothing
awful.
Nothing happened.
What's
nothing
that?
Nothing happened, but my Spider-Man problem number one, it was just let's see, here's a strange machine made by Mysterio, and if I touch it, all of a sudden I'm in another universe.
Yeah. Well, that, it was bad.
Where's
was
your childhood innocence?
It's been destroyed by Marvel through event after event.
I'm not even
giving
that much.
Event.
I read it Sunday because I just had to see
one. Once I saw Spider-Man is coming out, it's going to be a crossover between Miles Morales and Peter Parker.
But I do want to say the art was
excellent. Sad event.
Yeah. Was it Pacelli?
Yeah. The art was fantastic, but the story was just...
It's just a very, very... Yeah.
No, I can assure you this gets much better.
Oh, I'm sure it gets much better. Hey, at least they met on the last panel.
Did issue 2 come out this week?
Yes.
Oh, next time I work, I'll have to read that.
That's what you do at work?
Or throw it away.
When I'm here on a Sunday.
So that's what you do at work?
Yes.
Okay.
Best job.
Yeah, me and Nick were talking about that, too, about Dan Slott.
Just talking to Nick. On his real podcast. Nick won't talk to us anymore. Jeez. They don't talk to Adam.
Dan Slott has this way of adding characters, but he does nothing with them later on. That's my only problem with Dan Slott. I don't mind him on Spider-Man, but he likes to make characters. Sometimes they're not bad characters. But he makes so many of them, he doesn't know what to do with them afterwards.
I was going
to
say,
you know, you don't see Mr. Negative anymore. You don't see...
Sometimes are Carly Cooper.
You don't see tons of characters that he has made.
I got to tell you, Adam, I like that about Dan Slott. What my problem with Dan Slott is that JMS had taken Spider-Man to a point where he was a winner. And Dan Slott brought it back to when Spider-Man was in high school and... Everything went wrong for him, and every story was this wah, wah, wah. Spider-Man always loses. And I think that's terrible. I want to read
please,
a story about Spider-Man
for all adults
as a
Charlie
winner.
Brown, please leave.
Is how you say it.
No, but I don't have that problem with Spider-Man. Yeah. What I'm saying is he makes characters, which aren't bad, but he makes so many of them sometimes that they just get lost in the woodwork.
Yeah, but...
Make a character if he's just going to get lost in the woodwork?
Well, I mean, the new Vulture came back in Punisher. Carly Cooper was around in Punisher. I think he's
creating a large pastiche for
Spider-Man
to play.
He set you up for something with Hobgoblin. Mm-hmm. Where's Hobgoblin?
Whatever happened with Menace? Yeah.
He's in Venom? Why throw him in the Venom? Why did Dan Slott put this character just to go in the Venom?
I was going to say, yeah, because I remember reading...
How does that help Spider-Man readers if they're going to throw him into other books?
Like another son.
Well, I mean, you create a character that can play around in the sandbox.
Is that who they talked about in Punisher? Because Punisher number 12, someone mentions that she's going out with Ben Urich's nephew.
Yeah, that's
Hobgoblin. That was the only thing I didn't like about Big Time was every 3 seconds I showed him, he was like, "But secretly, I'm not." Uh-huh. Yeah. I was like, "I understand." I
but
saw
that's
you.
The thing.
Yeah, at home, you couldn't see, but he was twirling his mustache.
That he doesn't have. That
Ryan does not have.
This might be a video podcast.
No. Oh no.
I'll wear a fake mustache now to the shop, so everyone thinks I can.
But it would have to be like seven camera. That'd be. We're talking expensive or a rotating camera.
Everyone bring your own camera.
Colin's not made of money.
Just put it in the corner.
Yeah. But then they couldn't have seen that.
But that's my point, though. Exactly what you just said.
Yeah.
They made this character. They played him up so much.
He helped Kingpin in Big Time.
And then he just disappeared.
I think Kingpin's the perfect example, because wasn't Kingpin originally a Daredevil villain? But
no, he was originally a Spider-Man villain.
Yeah. But he's the ultimate Daredevil enemy.
I'm not saying Frank they can't Miller do that. I'm saying if you're going to play him up as being in this story, you're playing him up that, you know, a couple issues down the road. Sometime we're going to see a story about Hobgoblin.
Marvel, I mean, that's not never. That has yet to happen.
Marvel,
I mean,
lends itself to that
taken
because
a
everything
long
happens
time,
in New York,
especially since he's going to make a new character. He's going to have tons of new characters after that. When's he going to throw them in? When's
Utopia,
his run going to end? It's going to, you know, he's coming
maybe
up
never.
Pretty close to
but most of.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
He might be done after 700.
Maybe someone else will tell the next part of the story, or maybe in the book that he moves on to is where the next
usually
part of the story will be told.
Usually people don't take too much of Dan Slott characters and throw them into other books. I've never seen that.
Oh my god.
You know, they've done it a little bit. Even when they took the Avengers Initiative, which were mainly his characters, they didn't even bring them heartily into Avengers
Academy.
Spider,
Spider, and his little spider.
That's because most of those characters are terrible.
That's Dan Slott's characters. But, you know, Colin, you were saying that. Cloud Nine.
Yeah.
Where's Cloud Nine?
Yeah.
Where's the crazy dream guy who, you know, the kid of Nightmare or
he
whatever?
Lost his powers.
Where'd he go? Where did, you know,
he lost his powers.
The iron. He's
yeah,
gone
the iron
still.
Spider.
I don't mean he lost his powers. I mean his character is gone.
Hmm. Yeah, didn't they
he lost his powers and went into his parents. I mean,
he just took a nap and was just like, I'm done with this superhero game.
I think if there's enough of a demand, though, they'll tell the story somewhere.
There's no point of creating a bunch of characters if you're just going to not. You know,
I mean,
you're not doing it.
Hobgoblin for something.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's 600 issues, if you're going to write 60 issues,
that's like if they played Red Skull up as a big character in Captain America, and they're like, oh, but yeah, he was just the, you know, get you ready for this guy. You know, that's
well, you've got another 20 years. I mean,
yeah,
it's not like Red Skull was like
life expectancy.
Only.
It might be in a point issue or something.
Plus or minus 20 years, so you throw your hands up and say, I'm done with this.
I'm done with this. When are we ever going to see that Hobgoblin?
Maybe when Spider-Man
you're telling me I have to read
grows up and
well,
starts winning again.
My point is was that when they introduced the Red Skull, I'm sure he wasn't the main Captain America villain for the next 5 years.
He better have been because he didn't have many answers.
I'm just happy the lizard's back in the book. I mean, you know, and what are the chances there's a movie coming out?
Yeah, wow.
That synergy.
That
is amazing.
Was
amazing. They couldn't make that if they tried.
At least they didn't relaunch it.
True.
God.
True. Yeah, we got a new Spider-Man book.
Bigger time.
Because well, they relaunched Cap, they relaunched Iron Man.
Oh, I know. Avengers. Avengers Assemble.
Spider-Man's one of those ones that they won't well, they did it before JMS started, but I don't think they'll renumber Spider-Man.
But they could have relaunched, like, they could have held out Avenging Spider-Man, or they could have named it, you know.
And I gotta say, I'm a little disappointed in Ends of Earth. I was really expecting an epilogue at the end of that book, it just went straight to the Lizard issue.
That's what Avenging Spider-Man was for. He wrote that extra issue.
That's true.
Avenging
there was a
Silver Sable little epilogue in Avengers.
Did it explain anything about Doc Ock?
Nope.
Then I don't care.
Well, other
than
he's
wow, angry Adam tonight.
Other than he's still alive, and they put him in the raft.
He should be dead. He was supposed to die.
Yeah, he was going to die either way.
Well, he's dying.
They played.
But
well, how long is this? Geez, this is the longest like illness. He might as well just be walking around.
Don't work in a hospital center.
Yeah, Jesus.
All right.
I get it. What Toby ever going to be like?
Just
man,
die already. We need the room.
This is Doc Ock we're talking about. He's been whining about it for a long time.
Hey, I remember when Doc Ock died. Okay, so.
Yeah, I remember that too. What happened there? Didn't he die in, like, a nuclear explosion or something?
I don't remember that specifically. I just remember it was Sal Buscema inked by Bill Sienkiewicz. Mm-hmm. And I just remember going, this is painful because I hate Sal Buscema, but I love Bill Sienkiewicz. And trying to read.
If I remember it correctly, Aunt May inherits a nuclear power station somehow. And that's
perfectly
why
logical.
That was the same time when they got married. Do you remember? They were going to get married, and he wanted the game.
Well, that was a long time ago.
Wait, yeah, but he dies as supposedly dead in that explosion.
Oh, okay.
Cause him and a hammerhead.
Oh, no, because he died. It was post-Clone Wars.
Oh, saga. No.
I remember.
But that's the stuff.
Okay.
I got to get home.
Let's close this podcast.
We
got to
close
now.
This podcast. So.
Well, wait. You might as well give Joe a few minutes to finish organizing your trades over there. He's doing a pretty good job.
No, he's doing. You're doing it backwards, though. Spine out. Spine
oh.
on top.
Oh. Now we're going to let Megan go.
Megan,
ahead.
Are you
going to
say
her.
Anything? Did
no.
you say a word?
I don't know. I didn't contribute. I don't know. You guys intimidate me.
They are
Adam intimidated. Well, he was angry at it. I'll give you that.
Just
Adam
now.
Intimidated me. Tonight.
Now Joe's oh, hand man. Motions. I can understand being a little afraid of that. He might karate chop you at some point.
He
so knowledgeable.
He was just like,
so we're just making this stuff up.
Just making it up. Yeah.
Yeah, we just. It's
it sounds really convincing.
Well, next That's week you have to talk.
Okay.
Well, you're in charge.
Then. I promise.
You're introducing the podcast.
We'll wrap this one up. Oh wait, no, there is no podcast
yeah,
next
yeah.
week. Sorry, guys.
Just celebrating
no podcast. It's July 4th. I'm not
Video
sticking around to do this. I want to see fireworks.
Captain
yeah.
America.
I'm going to watch Independence Day.
So we're going to skip this next week.
Bad you're opening it up.
No, I. You know, I thought long and hard about it. I'm like.
You can give me my stuff, too.
It's a yeah, I can't, right. see? So it's like, people. Everybody's going to be off,
special
so they're probably going to want to come to get their stuff.
You can give
so.
Me my stuff Thursday. I don't care.
Okay, well, you can come
I
Thursday.
Will come to wish you a happy Independence
Day. Okay, well, and have a hot dog, because we'll
yes.
do hot dogs.
Yeah.
What okay.
a great reason to shop at Pittsburgh Comics.
Woo-hoo!
we'll talk to you in 2 weeks. See ya.
Buildings in a single bound. Came from out the shadows, cause that's how we get down. I'm in your town. Walk between billionaires and evil scientists. Sorcerer supreme, all the teenagers are buying this. Gamma radiation, nobody could mess with this. Hold steady with venomous symbiotes in my penmanship. Your friendly neighborhood MC back on the scene. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. All I'm seeing is green and red and blue. I hold the shield for America. When a soldier out Siberia, rocking any microphone that's near to ya. Clobbering it till in a coffin you sit. Agenda for extinction, bring out the horsemen of the apocalypse. Part of an evil brotherhood, acolytes that believe. Super friends who make beats and cats that MC. It's the area code to the planet that we protect. The Infinity Watch is now back in effect. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Ain't concerned with them other things. These rappers wanna talk about ice chains and fancy cars. Me, I'm trying to build a mansion in Asgard and fund the Hellfire Society. Studio is Cerebro, mind patterns and rhyme, cause I rap about what I feel though. You hear the rhythm and you're hearing the track. I'm here to take it back to days of future past in my rap. I'm the Stan Lee of the streets. Demand things when I speak, like your attention and respect when I jam these in the beats. And my tape deck pops, my mixtapes still rock. They're in your system, that's what sound waves telling me on the block. Ricky Bobby Drake's the only ice that I rock with. And mental telepathy is the only style that I talk with. Close your eyes, you can listen up in your mind. During this song, been freestyling there the whole time. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this. Because that's how we do it in the 616. Drop the beat out. I'm gonna go Pietro on these cats, right? Yeah. Spitting a rhythm that nobody's getting. I'm down to the infinite watches. The wisdom will battle these women and children. I'm ripping tracks. I go Mark 5 with a power pack. Hawkeye, what I'm aiming at. Stop time, watch your chain react. Can't lie, I'm a brainiac. Little they know, I'm stealing the show. I'm filling the streets, unlimited flow. The second of Doc Ock when I'm killing it, yo. Please, shots to your chest. You're rocking a mess like Cable did. I'm hungry as Wally West at a kitchen table. Nobody will save you, kid. I'm Frank with a gun. I'm Hank with his son. I'm Blob when I skip lunch eating rappers, man. So thanks for the gum. I'm Stark's wallet back before all these banks had a run. I'm Lex Luthor when I rap. I'm out the sun. Cause all I see are friendly faces and shifty eyes, keeping these anonymous commenters honest, making them realize. You love to hate me on the net when I try. That's why you get no love when you're up on my block. Now, put your hands up like this for all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's even on that Tuesday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on the tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like.